Well, statistics show that if you do something for 21 consecutive days, for 21 consecutive days, you will more likely form a habit that you will continue to do. Just 3 weeks. 3 weeks to form a habit, whether good or bad. And so if, for instance, let's say you wanted to more consistently floss, right? If you floss for 21 consecutive days, you will more likely stick to it. It will become part of your regular routine. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of believers start the new year with a desire to read their Bibles and pray every day. And yet many start to fall off before that 3 week mark. They don't form that habit. And as a result, they begin the year strong, but then they begin to putter out. And after a month or two, they feel discouraged that they're hardly reading their Bibles or praying. In fact, a recent study indicated that only 32% of Protestant churchgoers read their Bibles every day. And so my desire in this sermon is not to convince you of a truth that you already know. You already know that reading the Bible is important. You already know that praying is important for your spiritual vitality. What I want to impress upon you is that your prayer life and your time in studying the Bible will be better if you practice them together. If you link prayer with the Word and the Word with prayer, I think you will experience a deeper satisfaction with God. And it brings greater glory to His name. And I think that in itself is great motivation to stick with the disciplines of studying God's Word and praying, and making them both a habit. And so let's begin by reading Colossians 4, chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 again. And we'll begin our discussion by discussing the discipline of the prayer, the life of prayer of the believer. This is Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so Paul says very clearly, right out of the gate, continue steadfastly in prayer. Now notice first that we see crystal clear that this is the will of God for your life. Sometimes God's will for us is not so clear. And we have to discern, we have to pray, we have to seek counsel. We search through the Scriptures diligently to seek God's will. But this one is pretty straightforward. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That is God's will for your life, is to pray. And so if we want to be a people who do God's will, then we will be a people who continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it in thanksgiving. If it is God's will that we pray, then what is prayer? How do we pray, and when do we pray? Okay? What is prayer? How do we pray? And when do we pray? Well, in the most general sense, prayer is talking to God and asking Him for things. It is about praising Him for who He is and offering thanks to Him. Prayer involves asking God for the desires and the needs of our heart. Prayer is honest and at times very raw. Prayer is also humbling. It is admitting that we are absolutely powerless to accomplish what we want and what we desire. But God is powerful and able to do it. As one pastor puts it, prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as all sufficient. There is more that could be said about prayer, sermons, books can be written, and they have been written on prayer. There's certainly more that could be said, but there is not less than this. Prayer is humbly coming to God in praise and petition. So that is the what of prayer. But how do we do it? Well, there is no right way. There's no one right way to pray. So I'm going to offer three suggestions on how we can pray that will maybe help you get in a better rhythm of praying to the Lord. The first I offer is what I call concentric circles. Okay? So we pray in concentric circles that start with your own soul and then move outward to praying for the world. Okay? And so you start with yourself, not because you're the most important and not because life centers around you, but because if you're not right with God, if you're not being fed and strengthened by the Lord, you're not going to be able to pray for anyone else. And so you start with your own soul. You ask God to strengthen you, to help you, to convict you, to help you to set your eyes on Him. And then you move outward to praying for your family members, for your spouse, for your kids, for your siblings, your parents. And then you move outward to praying for our church, praying for its needs, the requests of the people, for its growth. And then you move outward and you pray for the church's mission to reach the lost, to reach those who are hurting in our communities, both in Jackson and in the surrounding towns. And then we go further outward and we pray for our country. And then we go even further and pray for the world, that the gospel may spread to the ends of the earth. That is what I mean by praying in ever-growing concentric circles. Now, different seasons will drive you to spend more or less time in certain circles. Perhaps your family is going through a very hard time, and you spend more time on your family than in other circles. That's okay. Different seasons, different days even, will require us to pray and emphasize certain circles over others. Now, though I do want to encourage you to really try to pray in all those circles. If we are only praying for ourselves and our family, then I would submit that you are missing out on the joy of praying for others. Joy not only in praying for those people, but also joy in seeing God answer those prayers. And so that's the first suggestion on how to pray. The second is to pray in this under these two very general categories, praise and petition. You praise God by adoring Him for who He is and what He has done, and then you petition Him, meaning you ask Him forgiveness for your sins, ask Him for help in certain ways. Ask Him for the needs, the desires of your heart. Praise and petition, that's a second way on how to pray. Now, this third way that I'm going to suggest on how to pray is not really a way in itself, but rather is a tool that you can use in any form of prayer. And that is to use Scripture as you pray. Using Scripture and turning it into a personal prayer for others is a very powerful tool. Many of you might know, or maybe you don't, there's a lot of new faces here, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Lorimer is one of our long-standing members of the church, and she is a wonderful saint that is currently going through a lot of a very tough season, suffering from a variety of ailments. She is a tremendous example of what it means to suffer well as a Christian. And as I pray for Elizabeth, I'll sometimes use Scripture as the basis of my prayer. Sometimes I'll use this Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I'll say, God, may Elizabeth not lose heart. May she know that though her outer self is wasting away, her inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light and momentary suffering is preparing for her an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison, as she looks to the things that are unseen, not to the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so, Elizabeth, if you're watching right now, know that we are praying for you, that we love you dearly, and I hope that that is an encouragement to you. Using Scripture, brothers and sisters, as you pray is a powerful, powerful tool. And so that is the what, and that is the how of prayer. But what about the when? When do we pray? Well, I want to suggest to you that prayer is to be both disciplined and spontaneous. Disciplined and spontaneous. It is disciplined in that we set specific times a day to pray. We resolve to pray every morning that we wake up. We resolve to pray before every meal. We resolve to pray every night with our kids at bedtime. We resolve every night to pray with our spouses before we go to bed. We resolve to pray before and after we read the Bible. These are disciplined, set times that we set aside to pray. And this is a good thing. It is showing the importance and the priority that we want to give prayer. Being disciplined and scheduling time to pray does not take away its authenticity. It is a wise admission on our part to understand that if we did not plan to pray, we probably would never pray at all, because we would be so busy tackling the many other things in our lives. Being disciplined and setting aside a specific time to pray is a good thing. It's a good habit to form. But then there is prayer that is spontaneous, and I encourage us all to do this as well. It is the silent prayer that we pray for help when we're on the phone and we just don't know what to say to the other person. It is the prayer that you whisper when you narrowly miss getting to a serious car accident. It is the prayer of praise that just spills forth when we see God provide in an amazing way. It is the silent prayer for wisdom when we suddenly are thrown into an opportunity in which we can share the gospel with our neighbor. These are all examples of spontaneous prayer, and it shows our heart. When we are thrown into these situations, what do we lean on? Do we lean on the flesh? Do we find confidence in our own self and our own abilities? Or are we quick to go to God in prayer? When we pray is a combination of both disciplined and spontaneous prayer. We need to be convinced of the need of prayer to sustain us as we and so we discipline ourselves to pray. And yet we also want to have a heart that is so fixed on God that when need arises, we are quick to go to Him spontaneously and cry out in prayer. Brothers and sisters, continue steadfastly in prayer. It is God's will for our lives. So let's actually do it. If you're not praying daily, then I encourage you, when you go home, set a time, whether set it in your phone, write it on your calendar, put a string around your finger. I don't know if people do that anymore. I don't, but maybe you do. Do something to remind yourself, set a scheduled time every day, same time, to spend in prayer before God. Or I invite you to join us this Wednesday for a time of corporate prayer at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, where we will gather together both to praise and petition God. And so what do you need to do to make prayer a priority in your life this year? Continue steadfastly in prayer. This is the clear command from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Yet, there is something else that I think Paul is making clear, but is below the surface. It's more subtle, but I believe it is there, and it goes hand in hand with prayer. So So let's take a look again at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I'm going to read it again, and we're going to take a look at what Paul, I think, is also saying underneath the surface. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so I will argue that Paul is saying, diligently study the scriptures. Now, where is that in the text, right? You might be asking yourself that. Well, I think we see glimpses of it in verses 3 through 6. In verse 3, notice that Paul says, Paul prays for an opportunity to declare the mysteries of Christ. Now, how are you going to declare the mysteries of Christ if you don't know them as revealed in the scriptures? Or verse 4, Paul is praying that his presentation of these mysteries of Christ, that is, the gospel, is clear to those who hear it. How can you clearly explain the gospel if you don't know the scriptures? Or verse 5, how are you going to walk in wisdom toward outsiders if you don't study the scriptures and know how to walk in wisdom? Or verse 6, how are you going to know how you ought to answer each person if you don't know the Bible's answer to their questions? And so, yes, continue steadfastly in prayer. That is the clear and obvious command. But under the surface, under that command of prayer, girding it up, strengthening it, its pillars under the prayer, is Paul saying, diligently study and know the scriptures. Now, we could keep going without going elsewhere in the Bible, but there is a different passage in Scripture that I think is so clear on this matter that we must turn to it. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay? So you want to turn a couple pages to the right in your Bible, flip past 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, past 1 Timothy, and you're going to land on 2 Timothy, and I want you to turn to chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 17. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And so I want to make three brief observations on this passage. The first is to continue learning the Scriptures. Notice that Paul tells us to continue in what we have learned and firmly believe from the sacred writings. That is, the Scriptures. And why does he say this? I think he gives two reasons in this passage. The first is that it makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And the second is because the Scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And so we continue to learn and study the Scriptures because it matures you in the faith. It makes you wise for salvation. It corrects and convicts you of the things that you're doing wrong in life. It trains you on how to live a holy and godly life that brings glory to God. And so the Scriptures are not something you read once and then you're good. No, you read it daily. You study it over and over again. You turn it over and over in your mind. There is absolutely nothing wrong with reading the Gospels for the 100th time. In fact, you should expect to learn something new or see something you haven't seen before or be convinced or convicted of something in a brand new way. Because the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, are dynamic. They're not static. The Holy Spirit moves in different ways, in different seasons, that we see things in a fresh new way. You continue to learn and study the Scriptures throughout your life. That's observation number one. Observation number two is that all Scripture is God's Word. Literally, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Now that's amazing, right? We take our Bibles for granted, don't we? But let's remind ourselves that the God who doesn't have a beginning or ending, but has always existed and always will exist, is speaking to us through the Bible. The God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The God who simply said, "Stars," and hundreds of billions of stars in all the galaxies appeared instantaneously exactly where they ought to be. That God is speaking to us in this book. And so if we have the very words of the author of creation at our fingertips, why would we ever treat them willy-nilly? If we remember that the Bible contains the breathed-out words of God, then we would be fools to not diligently study the Scriptures. Let me say one more thing before we move on to our third observation. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed. All of it. Even the difficult passages to get through, like 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, which is literally 9 straight chapters of names and genealogies. Even that is breathed out by God and is important and has a purpose. And so to that end, I want to encourage all of us, since all of Scripture is God-breathed, I want to encourage us all to read the entire Bible. Not just the New Testament, not just the parts of the Bible that we like, the entire Bible. Ideally, you would read through the entire Bible in 1 year, but if you have to do it in 2 or 3 years, that's fine. Not going to give you a bad grade. Right? I'm not even going to grade you, right? But I want you to read the whole Bible. That's what I want. There are so many plans out there. There are so many apps that will help you stay on track and read the Bible in a year. The one that I'm doing this year is the one by Nav Press, and it goes back and forth. You'll do one book of the Old Testament, and then one book of the New Testament, and you'll do that, and it's about 4 chapters a day, and every week you get 1 day to catch up. That's great. I mean, you have 25 days to read the Bible and 5 days to catch up in a month. That is totally doable. Totally doable. Reading 4 chapters a day amounts to about 30 to 45 minutes. And that's reading slow, like me. And so if you haven't found a plan, or if you don't know how to read through the Bible in a year, come talk to me. I'll give you a plan. I've got plenty of them, right? What I want you to do is read all of God's Word. And guess what? It's January 2nd, all right? So you can easily catch up. And I want no excuses. Oh, well, it's already in the middle of January. I can't do that yet. Right? Or maybe you're going through a Bible study right now. Finish the Bible study and then start it, right? There's no rule that says that you have to read through the Bible January 1 through December 31st. You could do March 10th, 2022 to March 9th, 2023. Totally fine. I just want you to read all of the Bible because it is all God's Word. That's observation number two. Observation number three, in suspense, is that the scriptures equip the disciple of Christ for every good work. That's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. If you want to be equipped to evangelize and share the gospel, then you need to know the scriptures. If you want to be prepared to answer questions about the faith and the hope that you have in Christ, then you must be familiar with the breathed out word of God. If you want to encourage others and give them wisdom, then you must know your Bible. Time and time again, I hear people that say, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. Then know your Bible. And opportunities will abound for you to share the scriptures. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 confirms what we saw beneath the surface of Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Namely, that we diligently study the scriptures. Now, I have been arguing that the Bible is quite clear on our need to continue steadfastly in prayer and to diligently study the scriptures. Now, what I intend to show you now in this final point is that we weave together the word and prayer in our life. Weave together the word and prayer in your life. I believe that prayer is more powerful when it is shaped and informed by the scriptures. If we do not know the Bible, then we can be praying for things that are contrary to God's will revealed in the scriptures. And I believe that if we do not receive deep insight and growth in the scriptures, if we are not praying for wisdom as we read. Think of the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things of your law. Or Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. I pray those things almost every time I read the Bible. Lord, incline my heart to your intentions, not to my own selfish gain. Open my eyes to see wondrous things in your word. God, satisfy my heart with your steadfast love in the morning. I pray those things almost every time before I read Scripture. Because I need God to open my eyes to see the wondrous things in His Word. These are just examples of prayers to God, asking for help as we read the Bible. And so I want you to picture this. I want you to picture a beautifully woven tapestry. Now, a key concept of a woven tapestry is that there are both horizontal and vertical lines, vertical threads that are woven together. And it is this interweaving that not only creates the design of the tapestry, but it also holds it together. Now, I want you to think of your prayer life and your time in the Word as a woven tapestry. And let's take the horizontal threads are your prayers, and the vertical threads as your time in the Word. Now, in order to make a beautiful tapestry from those two threads, they must be woven together. You must interweave your prayers with your study of the Bible, and your knowledge of the Bible with your prayers. That is how you will make a beautiful tapestry. And so I want to encourage all of us to earnestly strive to weave together the word and prayer in our lives. A tapestry with mostly vertical threads and hardly any horizontal threads will not only not look right, but it won't hold together. Similarly, don't just spend time in the word and neglect prayer. And don't just spend time in prayer and neglect the Word. Weave together the Word and prayer in your life. Now, why am I encouraging us to do this? Well, there are a number of reasons, but I'll only give the ultimate one. The ultimate reason why we weave together the word and prayer is to bring glory to God. We make this beautiful tapestry out of our prayer and study of God's word in order to make God look great. The more that we weave together the word and prayer, the more that we will delight to pray and study the word. But not only that, we will delight more and more in who our prayers are to and in whom the scriptures are pointing to. That is Christ. The more that we weave together the word and prayer, the more that we will treasure and delight in Christ. And the more that you treasure Christ, the more that you will be transformed to live by Him, live for Him. And as we saw last week, the more that we live or walk in Him, the more that we glorify God. And so, brothers and sisters, weave together the word and prayer in your life for the glory of God. Now, we live in an age in which we are always so busy, and our to-do list never seems to end or get accomplished. And yet, that should never be an excuse to neglect spending unhurried time in the Word and in prayer. Studying the Word and praying are non-negotiable priorities in the life of a disciple of Christ. They are like water to our parched soul and food to our empty stomachs. We must not neglect them at the risk of our own spiritual vitality. And so, brothers and sisters, don't be deceived and say, well, next week I'll start reading the Word and praying. Because you might not have next week here on this earth. Our lives are but a vapor. We are not guaranteed to live out the rest of this year or even the rest of this day. Only the Lord knows when He's ordained that we take our last breath. And it very well could be today. The recent death of Betty White is a reminder of this reality. Betty White passed on New Year's Eve, December 31st, and literally 3 days before that, she was interviewed. And she said, she's like, I am so lucky and so grateful to be so healthy and to be living this long and to feel so great. Look it up. Interviews all over the place. She said, I'm so lucky to be living this long, so lucky to be so healthy, and to be feeling great at age 99. And she was looking forward to her 100th birthday, which was going to be in January. They actually made, I think it's a documentary or a movie, celebrating her 100 years. Time magazine already has a cover, probably printed, that says, Happy 100th birthday, Betty White. 3 days after the interview, Betty White passed in her sleep. She did not see age 100. Just like that, our life is but a vapor. We are not guaranteed our next moment or our next breath. And so, brothers and sisters, don't waste your life. Don't think that you have next week or next month to start taking the Bible seriously, to start taking prayer seriously. And so my strong encouragement for all of us is to prioritize reading the Word and praying every day, starting today. Fight for the time, because your schedule and your to-do list is not going to allow it. It's going to convince you that it's not worth to spend time on those things. Fight for the time to pray. Fight for the time to study God's Word. And along those lines, I encourage us to weave together the Word and prayer in our lives for the glory of God. Weaving by hand is a slow process that takes time and patience. You will have to slow down from your breakneck speed that we operate in order to spend time in the Word and prayer, and weave them together. And remember this, you will not be an expert weaver right away. You will have to work hard at it. Weaving takes time and patience. Prioritize that time and be patient as you learn to weave together the word and prayer. The end product will be well worth the effort. And so, brothers and sisters, my prayer for all of us this year is that we would continue steadfastly in prayer and that we would diligently study the scriptures and that we would weave those disciplines together to form a beautiful tapestry that brings glory to God. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have spoken to us through your word, that you are a God who is there, but you are a God that is not silent. You have spoken to us, God, through your word, and you have spoken, most importantly, through your Son. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, God, to not see the word as just a task that we must read and do, an item that we check off on our to-do list, but no, would we see it as a delight, as something that we treasure, that we value, that we can't wait to do every day. Give us, God, that yearning, that hunger, that desire for your word. And God, as we read your word, would you well in us a desire for prayer. Prayer to understand what we're reading. Prayer to grow in the word. Prayer to grow to be more like Christ. Give us, God, a delight to pray. Would we feel strange if we don't pray? Help us, God, to weave together a beautiful tapestry of studying the word and spending time in prayer. Would you help us, God, to weave it together for your glory? God, help us to form that habit. Help us to form that discipline. And would it not just be a duty, but would it be our delight? Help us, God, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.